When we're going to jump into God's Word here, as you can probably agree, and I think we all would, that we live in a crazy world today. A crazy world of doing whatever you want and not worrying about the consequences. You know, want to please yourself rather than doing what honors God. I'm going to pause there just a minute, because yesterday was a very encouraging day here. We had church cleanup day, which is not the most fun event, most fun sounding event on the books. We had a bunch show up. We had, I think, three guys, a bunch of kids, and about eight women show up, worked nonstop. We laughed, chatted, talked, but a lot got done. Mostly stuff you can't notice. Like, for example, I should not knock this pulpit apart today because it's glued together. And I was hoping Gatlin would be here because last week he pulled me over. Pastor, look at this. This is broken. Part of the pew is spinning there, the decoration on the side of it. I glued it. I was going to make him proud. The pews you're sitting on, somebody vacuumed. And they saw all the junk you hide in the cracks of the pew. Jeremy, did you find any cash? No, no. When I used to clean travel coaches, the big travel buses that go across country, I knew where to look to find the spilled cash. The problem is when they took party buses on those, a lot of times what you found in there was not cash. It's because they had too much liquor and they let it back up. And that wasn't so fun. But when you found that $10 bill, it was like, whoop, whoop. But anyway, sorry, Jeremy, better you than me. And but thank you for those who came up and served and worked hard. And a lot was done here at church, so thank you. But that is a matter of wanting to honor the Lord, take care of his house. But what the world has for years done is ignored God, ignored his world, and really, we're now seeing it completely move into a rebellion state. Not only ignoring God and his world, but completely rebelling against what he has to say and what he has created and what his purpose is. See, the world is extremely confused because they walk in darkness. They now fight for their darkness rather than just walking in it. And it's beginning to require you and I to accept and promote their darkness. If you and I are believers, if we're children of God, if you have been saved by the blood of Christ, justified by him, sanctified in himself, 1 Thessalonians 5:5 tells us this, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. See, because we are children of light, children of Christ, we are supposed to expose the danger of darkness. We are supposed to expose the lies of Satan himself. Not for the sake of creating enemies and making fun of those in darkness, but for the sake of calling them into the light. Exposing their need for a holy Savior, Jesus Christ. That's not just pastors and missionaries, evangelists, elders and deacons. That's for everybody that is a part of the body of Jesus Christ. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have the calling to make Jesus known, to shine the light of Jesus Christ. You know, one can only come to the light through faith in him, for repenting of their sins and accepting his word as truth. And so what we're doing for the next handful of weeks, who knows how long, is we're going to have a short shotgun series. I call it shotgun because it just spreads the topics. Which we're going to touch a handful of topics. And again, our purpose is not to upset the unbeliever, but to build the believer and call the unbeliever unto salvation. That's our purpose. That's our calling. And today I've titled very simple our message, Man and Woman. Or better yet, male and female. Pretty simple, isn't it? When it comes to relationships, we know the phrase love is love. You've heard that, right? Love is love. Promotes any type of emotional desire you want to fulfill, but the truth is, God is love. So only that which draws you closer to God is truly an action of love. Anything else is just simply emotions and fleshly desires. I can say I love you all day long, but if I don't draw you in a closer walk with the true love himself, I don't love you. So my desire is not to just promote, oh, love is love. Do whatever you feel like it, whatever you want. My desire and your desire should be is to call people closer to true love because that is love. Yeah. So if you open your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1, and later we're going to go to Titus chapter 2. So if you want to put a finger there, we'll jump there in a while. And you see that it's pretty obvious how confused our world is when even what seems obvious to you and I is unclear today. When truth is mixed with emotions, it ceases to be truth. Who is it, our friend Ben Shapiro, that says truth doesn't care about your feelings? No matter how you care about it, you like it or not, truth is truth. And Jesus Christ said that he is truth. The word of God is called the word of truth. And that's where we want to seek. See, for some today, we've heard the phrase, follow the science. Anybody sick of that phrase? Because they're not using real science half the time. See, for other things, they make up the science. And as you know today, there's a claim of many genders. I looked up to see how many. Last count was 72, but then there's now there's something to say it's infinite. Because whatever you can say you are and make up, that you are. You see the darkness that is so exposed here. I like the movie End of the Spear that Brother Jeff has been talking about over the last couple months. Sharon, there's a part in there where they go into the jungles in Ecuador. Who they don't even know white man. That's why they speared the husbands. And so once the wives take the kids in there years later, they're able to reach them. It's very simple science that the grandma of the tribe did. The missionaries had a little boy, which you saw him being a translator on the video. And when he came into the tribe, the grandma grabbed him by the shorts, pulled him forward so she could see inside to declare that he was a boy. That's science, by the way. That's observation. It didn't matter how he felt or what he said. That's what he was. See, the rest of them ran around naked. It was pretty obvious. You see, here in Genesis 1, we know God describes the days of creation, dividing the darkness from the lights, the water from the land. He made the grass, the trees, the plants, the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals in the water, the animals in the air, the animals upon land. And then finally, he makes the greatest creation. Now, with everything already named, it's a beautiful place, isn't it? But he hadn't even made his greatest creation yet. In Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. And Lord, I ask that you'd use your word to just encourage, challenge, and remind us that you have a purpose for your creation. And that our desire would be to fulfill your purpose, to honor you, to bring you glory. And Lord, that our hearts are soft, taking these familiar passages and understanding why you created male and female. We love you, Lord, and thank you for being right here with us. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, you're probably familiar with these passages. Read them over and over, and you think, is he going to go there again? Yeah. Because there is so much that we need to be challenged on and reminded of. Preaching isn't always about giving new information. It's about challenging us with God's word. So we've seen very clear with this statement, God's creation of the humankind. And right there, he also gave us his purpose for him. I don't want us to look at that purpose today, but first off, I want to look at God created us. The first thing I want to look at, God created us. Notice here, God created two beings, only two types, male and female, nothing else. No in between, no confused. Understand, there's no other races, there's no other cultures, there's no other nothing in the human species. He created man. And we're going to get into it a little later. And then he took the woman out of man. We are one. He made male and female. See, this wasn't an emotional-based creation. He didn't base this on our fleshly desires. Well, Lord, I think I want to be. No, that don't matter. He created you for his purpose. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, he tells we were created by him and for him. We weren't created for your own glory, for your own enjoyment. You were created for his enjoyment, for his glory. His design was based on his purpose, which we're going to see in a little bit. See, anytime we change God's creation, we pervert it. We call somebody a pervert, it's because he's altered or he's corrupted his actions. It's contrary to the original use. See, when we pervert God's creation, we are altering the purpose for which he created it. We honestly corrupt it. The purpose for which we are created is shown in how we were created. You notice how we were created? In his image. God tells us right there that in verse 27 that he created us in his image, the image of the holy God. We're the only creation created like this. You understand that? Your puppy dog was not created in the image of God. No, puppy dogs are cool. Some countries think they're tasty. But he was not created in the image of God. He is a beautiful creation of God. Shows his handiwork. But you were chosen by God to be created in the image of God. God wanted us and gave us the privilege of carrying his glory. You see the privilege there? Isn't it awesome how he created us in his image? So that we can reflect his glory. You know how we carry his image? God is a triune God, isn't he? God is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know you're triune? You are triune. You are physical. You are mental, some more than others. But you're also spiritual. You are triune. You're in the image of God. Jesus put on flesh. He covered the physical, didn't he? The Father made the plans. And then he sent the Spirit who breathed life into us. According to Genesis 2:7. See, after sin, we were marred. We marred the image of Christ because we allowed sin. Therefore, he sent Jesus Christ again. To make us holy. and so that we could be conformed to God's image, conformed to his image according to his word. But unlike any other creation, you and I have the privilege and the honor of carrying God's glory. And we can only completely carry it in the way he created it, the way he modeled it for us. We understand. God created us, male and female. Now I can get into the whole misuse of it. We'll do it one week. Go to chapter 1 of Romans and it'll clear things up for you. The man misused the body God gave to him. But today we're going to see here that male and female is his creation. And what did he do to that creation? The second thing we see is God joined us together. God gave us a beautiful institution called marriage. Marriage is a beautiful institution. If you don't think so, it's because you didn't follow his guidelines for marriage. Because marriage is a beautiful institution he gave to us. Because when it's done God's way, it's an awesome institution. It honors God, and that institution declares his glory in the coming together of the male and female. In Ephesians, it tells us that our marriage is a picture of his relationship with his church, the bride of Christ. You see, your marriage should reflect him and his love. Which, what does that do? It declares his what? His glory, his image, who he is. Marriage is a picture of his sacrificial love for us. Because my wife sacrifices for me all the time. I needed to get some more points because I'm deep in a hole. You see, 4,000 years after God created Adam and Eve, 4,000 years. After God created Adam and Eve, Jesus speaking on marriage, because he was questioned about divorce, so he gets in on marriage. 4,000 years after creating Adam and Eve, Jesus says in Mark 10, verse 6, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Jesus said that 4,000 years after God created them. He said, this is still applicable, people. We don't destroy what God has created. And if we alter it, it ruins the purpose. And now we stand here, or you sit there, 6,000 years after the creation of Adam and Eve, and guess what? God's way never changed. And change yet today, because God does not change. When we say God does not change, it means his word does not change, his desire does not change, his purpose does not change, his calling for you does not change. He calls you to be holy and to work in his image and bring him glory. Your life should not be about him. He saved you unto himself. But isn't it awesome that when he created us, he didn't leave us all alone? If you remember, God looked over his creation. He looked at all he had created, and he said, man, it is good. And I've said this many times in this pulpit, but he looked at Adam, who did not have a partner, and he said, oh no, it is not good for man to be alone. See, for the first time, God said, this isn't good. If you'll go skip over Genesis chapter 2, right there where we're at almost. When he noticed that, in chapter 2, go down to verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Oh, liberals hate that today, don't they? Feminist movement hate that today. Because, and I'll be honest, because a lot of churches have twisted what this means. It's not about walking on woman. It's protecting the value he gave to you. But I'll save that for another message. you remember, he saw the need that Adam had. He said, I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. And so he puts Adam to sleep in chapter 2 here, and I'm going to read the whole thing. Puts him to sleep and took a chunk of ribs out of him, and then he woke Adam up for the first ever wedding. The first wedding to ever take place. I want you to picture that for a minute. God took the ribs out of Adam, and he formed this gorgeous woman. How do you know she was beautiful? First off, God made her. Second off, God never gave us a standard of beauty. He gave us a wife. She is your standard of beauty. So don't be looking around for someone more beautiful than your wife, man. So he walked this beautiful lady to Adam, and he wakes him up. And did you catch that? The father of the bride walked the bride down the aisle to Adam and gave her to him. What a gift. What a beautiful picture. There was no sin. This was before the fall of man, where sin hadn't entered the world. And he walks the woman to him. Now, the question is, why did Adam need a woman? Why is it such a bad thing? Dishes? No, inside voice. Sandwich? No. I'm just kidding. Don't get mad and lose it now. But really, why did he need a woman? Adam was God's creation. He was great, right? God made him perfect and sinless. What's the big deal? The answer is, if you remember chapter or verse 18 right there, she was to be his what? Helpmeet. He needed help. He needed help to fulfill God's command. What command? Go back to chapter 1. Go ahead, flip over to chapter 1. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And just stop right there. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Let me teach a little science real quick, and here's the truth. I mean, teens are over here. Over here, teens. Here's a little science class. A man cannot replenish the world without a woman. Am I wrong? That's science. Adam didn't need a John. Looking around, there's no Johns in here, is there? He needed a woman. He needed Eve to fulfill the purpose for which God created him, to fulfill the command that God wanted them to have and replenish the earth. And without a woman, he couldn't do it, could he? That's still true today. You fool around all you want, but you can't fulfill God's purpose without a woman. Women, you can't fulfill God's purpose without the help of a man. Oh, well, I can go to the doctor. Well, you know where they got what they get? From men. You got to have a man and a woman involved. Youngsters in here, ask your mom and dad what I mean. No, really, ask them. That'd be fun. This is real science. This is God's word. This is truth. Why did he create male and female? He created them with a purpose, to carry his image and to multiply and replenish the earth. Now understand, this command happened before sin entered the world, didn't it? While man was still holy and in God's image with no sin. So God is saying to them, I want you to make more of my images. You with me? Well, now picture that command. That Adam and Eve are still in the perfect image of God, holy before him, and he says, I want you to make more of those that reflect me. I want you to make more of those that bring glory to me. I want you to make more of those that make me seen. Because I love the relationship with you all. And I love the purpose that you fulfill in me. But this is before sin entered the world. See, God didn't just want babies. He wanted more people carrying his image, displaying his glory. Parents, grandparents, leaders, friends, neighbors. That same goes for today. We have a great responsibility to fill the world with his image. You can have all the babies in the world, but if you are not discipling them and teaching them the love of God and teaching them to be conformed to the image of God, guess what? You ain't replenishing the world as God has called you to. This verse is not just telling men, hey, go make a baby. He's telling you, I want you to disciple him. I want you to teach him. I want you to build him up. The calling is much greater than just fill it with people. It's fill it with the image of God. It's fill this world with the glory of God. Isn't that more powerful? We've got to disciple our kids. We've got to disciple our kids. We've got to disciple our kids. That doesn't just mean get them saved. That doesn't just mean teach to take them to church. That means to grow them up in God's word and teach them to be faithful to him, to love him. See, when God created man and woman, he did it with a plan. He has a purpose to change his creation, to change his design, diminishes the value of his creation. You have a great value the way he made you. If he made you a man, God's placed great value right there in making you a man, because he has a great purpose for you. If he made you a woman, there's no higher calling than being a godly woman, because he has great value in you. You see, he's made you the way he wants to use you. Then he sent Jesus to you because of your great value. You with me? Because of your great value, he gave his only begotten son that you may be saved and redeemed by his blood. That's your great value. So we see God created man and woman, male and female, to display his glory and to make more who display his glory. But go to Titus chapter 2. Because it doesn't simply end there. God's commanded us an action still today. Church, that affects each one of us in this room. In Titus chapter 2, I want you to really listen as we read through this. Follow in your Bible and watch the description he gives. We're going to start in verse 2. That the aged man, now stop there for a second. Nobody like to be aged man. But you that have experience, do you have lived, you that know the truth, you that it should be faithful to God. So the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Aged woman, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving too much wine, teachers of godly things. And look what happens here. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, you can walk through here, and we can try to break down every one of the words, and we'll do that someday. But listen to the general message that he's saying here. First, live it. You learn God's word, you apply it to your life, and you live the godly life. Men, live out a life of godliness. Be a godly man. Learn God's word, apply God's word, love the Lord. Let the words of your mouth, the character you carry, the actions you take, demonstrate Christ in you. In other words, let everything about you reflect God's likeness in you, because He created you in His likeness. Amen? So you reflect His likeness in your passions, in your purity, in your faithfulness. Women, live a life of a godly woman. Challenge everybody to study this chapter, how it challenges us. And, oh, man, but I don't want to do that one. Oh, you don't want to be godly. Study it out. But women, live out a godly life. Be the helpmeet God created you to be. Don't let the world make a helpmeet sound like a lower standard. Think of it as a higher standard, because that man can't make it without you. That's why I told my wife I get to die first, because I can't do it without her. And if she leaves me, I'm going alone. Because you know why? God gave a helpmeet because couldn't handle it without her. Don't let the world tell you that's a low life, that it belittles you. No, God made you in His image as well, for His purpose and for His glory. Let the words that come out of your mouth be truth from God. Let your heart be full of love. Let your character be known for holiness. In other words, demonstrate Christ in you. Reflect His likeness and your holiness and purity. So first, you live it out. And then we saw halfway through the passage that we were reading what? Then teach it to the younger. Men, teach the boys to be godly men. It's very easy. Teach them the dirty jokes, how to get the girls. That's not godliness. That's not the likeness of God. You set the example in your life to where they can see it, and then you teach them. It does you no good to run your mouth and not live it. Because all you do then is teach them to be a hypocrite. But if you live the life of a godly man and then you teach them to live it, they are seeing a true passion for Jesus Christ. They are seeing a truly transformed life through the blood of Jesus. They see the value, and they see how it pays off to have a pure life. In a world that tells you to be perverted is okay and good, we can show them that purity pays off. You know, don't encourage them to follow their emotions. Don't let them pursue the world or to bed as many cuties as they can. Teach them godliness. Teach them to love the Lord. Teach them to live in the likeness of God, that people can see His glory through them. Ladies, teach girls to be godly ladies. Set an example. Teach them. If they don't see you being to help me, why would they want to? Read through that list. That's not a popular list nowadays. That's not what we want to do. You don't understand the cost of living, this, that. No, I understand God's word, though. He's the one that challenges us, so set the example for them and then teach them. Teach them, young ladies, not to follow their hearts, because following your heart gets you in trouble, don't it? Heart is wicked. No man can know it. I've counseled many people, had many tears because they followed their heart. So with many ladies crying in church because they followed their heart. And their husband wants nothing to do with the Lord, so therefore their children doesn't either. Don't teach girls to follow their heart. Teach them to follow God's word. Don't teach them to look hot and sexy for the young boy's eye. Because whatever you draw them with, you're going to have to keep them with. There's always someone younger and has got more plastic. Just saying. What are we teaching them? You teach them to love the Lord and love God's Word. Teach them godliness, holiness, purity. We are not to leave our kids to their emotions. We are to teach them to fulfill God's purpose. And in order to do that, they need our example. You with me? They need your example. They need your teaching. They need your protection. They need your love. If you get a time later, read the back of the bulletin. It's just a thought. But it's protecting our kid from some of the garbage that is out there today that we call entertainment. But the truth is, the entertainment has a second purpose in it. And this one is kind of directly towards Disney with the junk that's come out this year. Not this year, in the last couple weeks, I should say. Stuff we've seen coming, but now they fully tell us. And they're proud of it. They need you and I to protect them. And to teach them why. Not just say don't do, but to teach them why we don't do. It's kind of like everything. We need to teach the why, don't we? That's teaching. We have a whole lot of kids not in church because we drug them to church for years. But we never taught them why we go to church. So when they got old enough to make a decision, they don't come in no more. They need to learn why they need to be in church. They need to learn why they should be pure. Why we should live a godly life. Let's teach them why in love. So that when they get old enough to make their own decisions, they can make them on the why. On the truth of God's word. Let's each of us remember God made us for his purpose. Male or female. You're made in his likeness to carry his glory. He wants to display his glory in your life. Just the way he created you. Amen? Male or female. That's how he wants you to display his glory. And that should be the desire of our life, is to make him known. Would you stand with me? Let's close in a song today that, I'll be honest, I don't pick them very often because I'm clueless, but I'll tell the ladies, something about bringing glory to God with our lives. And you know what Brooke came up with? Glory to his name. And then our desire that our life would bring glory to his name. And let us sing together. Let's sing verse 1, 2, and 4 today.